This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here we go with another episode. I call it Pod Force One because I am on location at True Move. It's like 105th and Metcalf. This is where I'm doing all my workouts. Besides the stuff I do at home, all the workouts I do, I work with Drew, who's been on the podcast a couple times, and Ethan, who we're going to bring in here in a moment. But the update is I'm about a month and a half away from having to either dunk a basketball or pay $1,000. We did some testing originally. We've done some testing now today, and Drew and Ethan are here to help me break it down. Drew, we just did some testing. How did you think it went?
I think it went well. I mean, we're gonna have to line up the numbers for you. We didn't do that yet, but it definitely looks like you've shown some improvement, and then we showed the jump a little bit,
right?
That definitely is showing.
It's weird, man. I feel like I can jump through the roof, right? Like just walking around, or sometimes, you know, because I'm a weirdo, I'll jump in my house and touch the stairs. So I feel like I can jump a mile, but then it's not quite reflected here. Why do you think that is? I mean, not that it's not, or just it's all mental at home, or I'm only jumping when I'm really, really feeling good about myself at home. What do you think is going on?
I don't know. I'm impressed with the way that you're doing you're doing. So you've definitely shown more improvement than I think I thought you would at the beginning. So.
Well, I think I say it all the time. Without you and your team here, I wouldn't be anywhere close, and it wouldn't even be dramatic. I want to talk to Ethan, who we'll bring him in. Let's start with your background first, and then we'll talk about all the odd amount of time we've spent together. So, what is your official title? Like, not here, but like, what education do you have? Give me that.
Sure. So I had my undergraduate degree in athletic training, and I am a certified athletic trainer. On top of that, I have my certification in a certified strength and conditioning specialist.
Wow.
Coach, and also just doctor of physical therapy down in San Antonio. So
wow.
I did a little bit of athletic training work while I was getting my doctorate in physical therapy in San Antonio, helping out with the sports medicine program down there, as well as working with a women's football team while I was down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So is your goal to, or is it a different track to be a physical, like if you wanted to work with the Royals or the Chiefs, is that a different track? Are you on that route? Is that what you long-term would see? Or do you like this where you're not necessarily dealing with super athletes, but people more like myself? Layman, if you will. Am I lame? Is it layman?
You're not a super
layman?
Athlete.
I'm not.
I'm
not
pretty
yet.
Sure you're a super
working
athlete
on that part.
So, like, is that something you? Is that a completely different type of track to be on?
So yes and no. It's a different track as far as the career positions go. Where I'm at now, I can affect more people this way. I can work with not only athletes, but athletes and your everyday weekend warrior type people as well. To get into professional sports, a lot of it is building up that years of experience. So you want to get in from the ground up and work up to
and
that.
And stay in it.
Exactly.
Right.
But no, with this job in particular, working in this type of setting, I feel like I'm able to reach a wider number of people.
Sure.
And not be tied down to one team specifically.
Let me ask you this. When you say I'm a physical therapist, or you tell somebody, what you do for a living, what is the biggest misperception of what people think you do? You know what I mean? Like, what do people assume that may end up being wrong often?
So I get it a lot, both with athletic training and physical therapy. They're like, oh, so you're the people yelling at someone to finish their exercises or pushing them to do that. And it's not that at all.
No. So they think you're like a personal trainer from a Gold's Gym.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which you kind of are with me, but not really.
Yeah.
It's not just, let's make your muscles bigger. That's the thing about what you guys have done. Because even if at my best, if I was going to try to do this dunk, I would have gone and done a bunch of calf raises. I would have done a bunch of squats. But okay, let's make it about me again. Ethan, talk about what we found out about me and how that was different what we did than it would have been if I was just at the gym myself.
Sure. So originally when Drew evaluated you at the beginning, we found some limitations in both your hip and your ankle range of motion. And without that range of motion, you'd have a decreased ability to load into your legs and actually produce the amount of force and power you need to complete this dunk jump
right,
that you're working
right.
towards. So if you would have just went and started strengthening and not worked on that range of motion, it wouldn't have done you any good, essentially.
Right.
It'd been like getting a thicker rubber band, but the rubber band doesn't stretch to load up energy. So you had to work on that first and then specify which muscles were weaker and which
right.
ones need more tension than others to get you a good solid base to see, do this jump.
That's what I wouldn't have done. I wouldn't have known any of that, right? The mobility stuff.
Right. And I think you hit on kind of going back to the question you asked Ethan about misperceptions of what physical therapy is. I think historically we're looked at as you tear your ACL, you go to rehab, you get rehabbed, you go, you're done.
Yeah.
Whereas I personally, and I'm biased, of course, feel like we have a much wider range in terms of assessing people prior to injury, figuring out what they need to do to improve their performance, but also prevent injury. And that's
right.
exactly what we did. You didn't come in with an injury. You came in with a goal.
Right.
And so we found out, well, what's limiting you from the goal? Address those limitations so you have the capability and build off of that. And I think really that's where we could have the greatest effect. And what we have to do is teach people to be to understand that and come to us as like their primary care of movement or musculoskeletal.
Right. No, you're right.
Right to us.
Outside of knowing you, the only time I would have ever gone to physical therapy is if I would have had a hip replacement or blown out a knee. Right.
Right.
So, and it makes now that I've been coming here so much, I get it. How are we and you specifically going to change that paradigm in America? Right. Because now it's all about treating the ill or the injured. Right. And everybody knows, oh, I should eat better and I should work out some. And some people are like, I walk twice a day or I walk three times a week. How do you switch that?
Right. Well, we're working really hard. I mean, we went as far as changing the name of the company to try to
right.
address that. I mean, because it is a huge misconception. I mean, I've known you for quite a few years
right.
now. And even after all this and after going through this, you'd give me a call a couple months ago saying I need to go to the ER or I need to go to the doctor because I must have a tumor in my neck. And it was musculoskeletal. It was a
right.
muscle strain that you just got a little overexcited about, I guess.
It really hurt.
Right. But if you had not known me, you would
right.
have ended up in the ER or
right.
something.
No, I certainly would have gone to my regular doctor. And if he would have known, let's just say that he would have known that it was a muscle thing. He would have given me muscle relaxers, right? Maybe some painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
And we know in the worst case scenario, how that can end up. But that doesn't necessarily.
Delays coming to us. And
right.
the thing is, the sooner you can get to us, the quicker we can resolve,
because
right. the body does the healing. We just have to give it the right opportunity to heal. And going through the medications and the x-rays and MRIs and delaying until you can see specialists,
right.
that now you're a chronic pain patient. You're not an acute patient. It takes longer to treat.
Meaning, let's say, because we know we have a mutual friend that had his hip replaced. So do you think that it started going bad and he just waited until yeah. it was almost too late?
Yeah.
You're saying that what needs to happen is people go, oh, my hip doesn't feel right when I walk upstairs in the morning.
Well, even before that, I think we need to start having the perspective that you need to come in and get an assessment every once in a while, just like you would to the dentist.
Right.
You go to the dentist every 6 months, not because you have cavities every six
right.
months, but you go in to get a checkup.
Right.
And then you get activities or things you're supposed to do, brush your teeth and floss
yeah.
and all that sort of stuff that you're supposed to do for your teeth so you don't have cavities.
Right.
We don't do the same thing for our
no,
bodies.
You're
we do the
so
same
right.
thing for our cars, our computers,
right.
our teeth and everything, our house and everything else.
But not our
when
whole
it comes
health.
To our physical body, really the
right.
most important thing, we don't do that.
It's so true. You said it before about the car. You take your car every once in a while, right, for an oil change or the tires and sometimes, right, but you don't do that with your body.
Right. And
why? Why is that? Why?
Where we
Ethan?
Place our value. I don't know.
Why is that?
It's just where we seem to be more reactive
right.
than proactive.
It's what we're taught. It's
injuries.
Because the insurance, the way
right.
the insurance is designed is we're taught to be reactive because they'll only pay for reactive. And we
right.
think that insurance is supposed to pay for our healthcare.
Right.
We'll go to the gym, but that's not treating things that are limiting you. That's working around and getting things that you can do stronger. You tend right. to focus on your strengths and not work on your weaknesses.
Right.
But with our cars, we, you know, have maintenance reports that come up now. Right. Car of the day's mine yells at me if I haven't had the tires right. rotated every so often. So.
Or an engine light comes on.
Right.
Right. What is my body's engine light though?
I mean, like pain is your engine yeah. light, but by then it's even a little too far. I mean, we want to try to catch it before that, but
so
we,
you're saying,
we ignore our pain. I mean, we say it's an inconvenience and it will right. heal itself until it becomes limiting. We don't want it to become
right. Limiting. So let me ask you this, then your ideal scenario for the health of everybody and for lack of a better term, culture would be every 6 months, like we go to the dentist, we go to some sort of physical therapist where they would check us. No, good. Cause like today we did some stretches just to see where I was compared to, but you're saying that we would do that just with everybody every so often.
Right.
And then I come in the next 6 months and go, you go, oh, all of a sudden I'm noticing you can't bend that far.
Right. And that's at the minimum. And that's actually one of the things we've changed is we actually have a screening tool that we use that we want people and everybody for free come in every 6 months and get an assessment. And then it will produce activities for them to do that's based off of their limitations and strengths. And every 6 months come and do that. And that should right. be the minimum that we should do. And then we have people that come in and weekly, every other week, they get maintenance work done where they're, yeah. we're helping them work on their limitations. And that kind of depends on the person on how well they do in their homework. And
well, right. As well. Right. Do you think doctors would suggest the same thing, but don't? I mean, obviously we go for a health checkup every once in a while, a physical every couple of years, right? It's kind of the same deal,
mm-hmm.
but why doesn't it necessarily produce the same results?
Well, first off, when was the last time you went to your physical? Right? I mean, I know I haven't.
I know. No,
I haven't gone to mine. I mean, we don't take care of ourselves. It's an inconvenience, right?
Right. But doctors would suggest it probably. Oh, for sure. But so why doesn't that happen?
We've got to change the way that right. we think about our body and health. And,
right.
and I think it's, you know, we spend so much time trying to save money on our health by ignoring certain things and working mm-hmm. so hard. And then as we get old enough that it becomes a problem, then we're trying to spend all this money to try to restore our health. Well, why don't we spend some money along the way and spend some time along the way to keep ourselves healthy so right. we're not overspending it as we get older?
Yeah. You're right about not being reactive, but proactive.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knows, like, I could go to the gym, right? But it's different.
It's not the same thing.
It's not.
No. Going to the gym is like practice. You're going or racing your car. Going to race a car at speedway or something like that. It's practice to race the car. We're the maintenance tool. We're going in and updating the software and
right.
Changing out some parts and fixing some things that need to be addressed so you can perform at your best
at the gym
and then doing the activities that you love to do.
Right. Where do you think you guys see a lot of injuries post whatever it is, post injury, post operation? Where do you think people just generally lack the most health? Is it backs? Is it legs? I know because my wife teaches yoga, she talks about people being non-flexible and how many other problems that causes, like tight hamstrings and lower back pain and how all that's connected. What do you guys think just as a general basic wide brush on everybody, where do you think we as Americans lack health the most?
Well, movement related, we talk about our big drivers of the body. We talk about the thoracic spine, the hips, the feet and ankles, and the eyes as the big bullies of the body. The ones that if you have a limitation in there, they're not necessarily going to display the areas of pain. They'll shoot it off to one of the other joints. So most of the treatments we see are shoulder pain, neck pain, low back pain, knee pain, and those are the ones that tend to get the beating from the bigger areas. So when we address things, we do areas that are limited and not areas that are painful necessarily, because that's just where the most limitations are and they become hidden. So
talk to me about the ankle thing. You're saying if it's limited in the ankle, where does that reflect?
Well, a lot of times that's a knee. If you can't bend the ankle enough, something's got to make up the difference. And so the knee tends to take on more stress because it's just a transition joint. It's a joint that transitions force up and down. And so if the ankles or the hip is limiting in some way, it's going to say, well, I'm not going to do it. So guess what, knee, you're going to have
right.
to do it. And it's not designed to do it.
Right.
And so then it creates pain.
And that's where, again, just generally speaking, if I went to a doctor with a knee pain, he would look at my knee. A doctor typically probably isn't going to make that connection, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what insurance wants you to do too, is look at the area of pain. So
right. And I'm not banging on doctors. Obviously, I respect and I'm glad we have all that. I just think you're right. And they seem to be so overworked. It's just, mm-hmm. Let me ask you about this. Okay. So Ethan, when I made this bet October 2nd of last year, I obviously made a misevaluation of my body, right? Like, I don't even know why I did it. I've always wanted to dunk, but I made, I don't know, a bad choice. Because do you think that's because people can't evaluate physically where they are in a realistic manner?
I think that's a good assumption. I think a lot of times people don't realize where they're at physically, where their abilities are. Because if you're not testing yourself on a daily basis, if you're not on that elite athlete level or pushing yourself every day, you're not going to necessarily know exactly where you're at. You may have a general idea if you do, you know, stuff here and there. You don't have a full idea.
So I've talked to the Andrea Hootie, who is the strength and conditioning coach for KU men's basketball. I went back and forth with the Royals strength and conditioning guy a little bit, and it sounded like they both thought my age was probably the biggest factor. Why? I mean, obviously our body, obviously it degrades over time.
Correct.
Right? But like, am I that old?
Well, it's also how you've taken care of yourself during that amount of time.
Right.
Like you started in the last year really doing a good job of taking care of your body.
Right.
If you had been able to dunk when you were younger and you really worked at it and maintained it and continued the level that you are, you know, it'd be a lot easier for you to be able to dunk right now.
Is it possible that no matter what workouts we do and no matter what happened, I was just age is too much of a hump to get over? Is that possible?
I think you could do it.
Really?
I think you'd outdo your age at this level. It's not like you're walking around in a walker quite
right,
yet.
Right.
You still are moving and shaking pretty good.
Right.
And you've been able to work. I mean, the level of improvement that people will see is pretty significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have the capability to potentially do it now more than what I thought at the beginning of this whole thing. I mean, I really think that you've shown, I can't say in the last year because the first 3 months were not so impressive, but after that, I think you got yourself in gear a little bit.
So what have we done, Ethan? You would be able to speak better than I can about some of the stuff we've really focused on. You talk about the mobility in my ankle, but if somebody happens to be listening to this podcast and they want to dunk, obviously the testing and let's see where we're at and how we're going to prove and find out what areas you need to specific. But what are some of the exercises that we've really done to push myself up?
Sure. Yeah. So we've been working a lot on power and force production through those legs. So you're able to push yourself up off the ground. So as far as first, you know, focus on getting that mobility back. So you're able to load into the full range of motion in a way that's not going to put too much stress on your other joints. But then also just working on your big force-producing muscles, your quads, your glutes, your calves. Those are all going to be ones that are really going to help you explode up off the ground. Doing a lot of single-leg isolating exercises, you know, your favorite kind.
So we've done a lot of – talk to me about the Bosu ball. What is that called? That's the company name, right? The Bosu brand. Thing? It's the brand? Mm. What is that called just in general if I was going to search it? Is there a name for it? You call it the Bosu ball. Yeah. But it's like, it's one of the support balls that you see people sitting on at work, right? One of those.
Are
exercise ball. Of it.
Yes.
But it's half of it.
Correct.
So I'm like, just last time I worked out, I was doing one leg jumps on and off of it. Why? Like, what specifically do I gain there?
So that's actually working on proprioceptive cells that are within your muscles. They're going to get
lost me. Side. And proprioceptive
sensor cells in there that are going to react
to the
load of the muscles.
Okay.
So when you're landing on there, they have to react to that unstable surface. And it's kind of bringing in your nervous system to help produce more force through those muscles that way. So training the nervous system to help get those muscles firing.
That's interesting. Cause that's what Andrea from KU had said. She was like, it's that quick motion too. It's not just about being strong.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to,
it's quick and having as many components of your body at the party as possible. So right. we need to teach all the muscles and all the tissues to respond in all different directions to be prepared for whatever you need to do.
Right.
As opposed to just saying, hey, calves, let's just help.
Right. Let's just be strong. Here. Right. Right. I got to say too, man, you know, the other thing about being here, and tell me I'm wrong, please feel free. I don't think you hold back, Drew, but tell me I'm wrong. The attitude at a physical therapy location seems to be so much happier than at a hospital when you're talking about, right? Because nobody, or at a doctor's office, because again, it's that reactive, you know, and the gains here, they seem like they're seen immediately, right? Do you feel like that with your patients? I mean, I know it takes several times, but it feels so much different than here's a prescription. Let's see what happens.
Well, you know? We also have the added benefit that physicians don't necessarily have, where we get to know you over a long period of time and we see you more than, you know, once every 6 months, where we get to know our clients, our patients, and whomever comes in here on a personal level, and know not only their physical, but kind of how they're emotionally work on things and everything. So yeah, it becomes, you know, you hope that the place you're going has a nice welcoming environment.
Yeah.
And, because it is important, and you need to believe that you can do what you want to be able to do again, right. as much as we need to know. So like to say, Brady, can you dunk again? I'm going to go, heck yeah, you can. Because I mean, the mental aspect of it, it's not just the physical, it's the mental, and you need to believe that you can do it.
But how do you balance that versus,
I mean, you have to be realistic. I mean, right. if you're 4 foot two, you know, right. it's not going to be,
that's
possible,
the problem, but. Right. It's going to be dramatic at the end. Right. But how do I balance realistic without being negative to have a negative impact on myself, but also realistic so that if it doesn't happen, I'm not.
Well, we just talked about this weekend about you, the emotional component of being done with this whole process,
right.
and how you've gotten yourself involved in it and really taken it seriously. And just whether you do it or not, you're going to be a little sad that it's over with.
It's going to be depressing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've really accomplished something, and we can talk on another date about all the stuff, you know, all that, but you've convinced yourself, and even if you don't do it, I mean, I think what you've done over the last several months is going to be credited enough, so.
The benefit here, but I go back to the hospital question. Maybe it's a testament, Drew, to your hiring, but the attitude around here is so good and so positive that I feel like that's a big help. Not just to me, but obviously there's everybody around here, the patients, and the vibe is just good. Yeah. And you know what I mean? And,
well, thank
and
you.
The positive attitude and the support that I feel, and everybody's kind of chipper and kind of nice, but super professional. Just ride that line very well.
Well, I can't speak for Ethan necessarily, but I'm pretty sure he feels the same. Like the job that we have is pretty satisfying because we get to see people improve and we get to see them over, like we said, over time, but we get to get them back walking, back moving, back doing what they enjoy doing. And we can see that improvement from day to day.
Right.
And so it's pretty satisfying. There's plenty of medical field, you know, professions that don't have that benefit.
I mean, right.
You know, just think of a lot of cancer patients. That's not, I mean, we're really, I think, blessed in what we do to be able to see that.
Right. So when we started this thing, I haven't just gone through changes, but originally, I think even in the first podcast, it was Sport and Spine. Now it's True Move. And you had the one level of, you know, physical therapy, post-injury and all that. Now, where are we at? Because I know there were several phases.
Yeah, we're still working. I mean, it's a long process to change the company. I mean, I've been doing it now. The plan has been almost 2 years in the making to do what we're doing. And we want to do it right. But we have, you know, the reactive insurance-based one that we've continued to do the best that we can under insurance world. But we're building stuff that allows what we've been talking about, allows you to do what you want to do as the client, reach your goals. And so we have both the proactive preventative for both individuals, corporations, all levels. We're just trying to reach and have an impact on as many people as we possibly can through what we know, movement. And that's really our goal and our passion. And so lots of things to come in True Move world.
Yeah.
But
good.
We're doing it right. So we're taking our time.
You're taking a subpar athlete to maybe making me a barely subpar athlete, just barely under. So Ethan, real quick, I see a lot on Facebook, Instagram and online, True Move is teasing a one movement that you should be doing every day. Will you spoil yes. that so I don't have to sign up?
I don't think I can do that.
You can't spoil. Isn't there one mo? There's gotta, one movement.
Gotta get on. We've got, like I said, we've got a lot of things coming, and our goal is to educate.
Yeah.
And we're going to give a lot and provide a lot. And so you need to connect and connect with us. And that's our goal.
Find them online. Obviously, you found this. So I assume you already know. TRUMOVE across all social channels. That's the website too, right?
TrueMoveKC.com.
TrueMove, TrueMoveKC.
TRUMOVE.
Did I misspell it again?
KC.com.
Okay.
We'll figure it out here.
TrueMoveKC.com is the website, and all these links will be all over the place. Again, I say it as much as I can. Without you guys, I would have no chance. And Drew and I go back. Ethan and I don't. And we just started working together, and he's been so gracious with his time, with his knowledge, with his help. He's been patient with me. There are days where I could probably give a little bit more, where I can, because some of this stuff hurts and I'm lazy and I don't like it. But Ethan has been nothing but gracious. Dude, I just can't thank you enough. So thank you. Let me say,
it's been a pleasure. It's been awesome.
You've been a lot of fun to work with, and I know you're really been very cool to work with. Drew, thank you again.
Always.
So, give me odds right now. So today is whatever, August 8th or something like that. So we have just about, we'll call it 2 month mark. We just did some testing.
What did we say the first time? Was it like 1 in 100?
Yeah, odds, something like that.
Odds.
What do you give me?
Half. Cut that in
one
half.
In 50.
I think what might shock the world a little bit.
Yeah, I know, Ethan.
Close.
It is going to be close, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I still probably wouldn't make the bet again if somebody was like, "All right, put an extra 1,000 on it." But it's going to be dramatic, don't you think?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be close. Your odds have improved dramatically since the beginning, I would say.
Here's my other question: do we do it in front of an audience? Now, I don't know why I'm saying we, it's like you guys aren't, but like, do you think the nerves would hurt me because of the audience, or do you think the adrenaline would help? What do you think? What's your gut say, Ethan?
I mean, I think it could go either way. Depends on kind of your motivation, your drive behind it.
Right, how I react.
Exactly.
So. I think knowing you and knowing how you like the show, I think having people there will help.
It might help, right? Yeah. Drew and Ethan, thank you. That was the latest episode of BG Dunks 2018, available on radio.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.